Welcome back to Beyond the Booth. I'm your host, Cameron Capers, and as always, follow Beyond the Booth on Spotify and Apple Podcast. You can also find Beyond the Sound on Twitter and Instagram at BYDTHESOUND. And if you want to support the website and the podcast, you can make donations on Beyond the Sound's homepage. Today's guest is Dream Girl. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Awesome.
Hey,
good.
How are you?
This heat, the summer has been kicking my ass, but I prefer this over the winter, so...
Oh yeah, definitely.
Same. I'm kind of like basking in it. Like I'm kind of like I'm enjoying being so uncomfortable and sweaty at this point. Like, oh, I feel like winter lasted
so
long.
Especially with
the
lockdown too. It was just like even worse.
Yeah, it was a long year. How are you doing?
Just been just keeping busy and just working and hanging out. I'm excited to talk to you guys. Like I said, this is very much long overdue. So I wanted to just give some people some background that don't know. So I met you guys originally. I want to say it was like 2015 or 16. One of Denzel's old projects. I did the Homegrown Bows Festival with you guys, and you guys played too, obviously. I think that's the first time we met. I could be wrong, but I just wanted to know, like, before that, when did you go first, like, form and start writing together?
I don't know. It was around Thanksgiving of, like, 2013. And it was kind of from the ashes of, like, a band that Lacey and I were in that had recently broke up and that we salvaged and got a couple new members and then started jamming every week. And we were also really isolated because we were in St. Joe and there's nothing there. So we had nobody to, like it was kind of weird. There was nobody else in that city, and somehow I found – all these people that ended up joining the band, and
that's
interesting.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. And at the time, when we first started, I lived in Springfield, so we didn't live in the same place really. And I was driving there every weekend, and we were kind of just playing a lot of shows in St. Joe and Springfield. It was a weird time. Like Skylar said, there's not a lot of at the time, not a lot of bands doing things in St. Joe, not a lot of support for the arts. There's a great scene there, that does support the arts, but it's not like a citywide thing, and obviously not as big as Kansas City.
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that. I actually just interviewed Isaiah from Radke not too long ago. It hasn't come out yet, but it will be soon. He mentioned, being from St. Joe, and they actually, didn't get booked really at all due to, racism, obviously. And so I wanted to ask, what's the difference between, St. Joe and Springfield versus being in Kansas City when it comes to the scene and how you guys have kind of grown artistically?
I can definitely talk about, Springfield. Springfield has several colleges there and a thriving art scene, but it's not super covered by local media or really propped up by the city in any way. So the scene really takes care of itself. But it is small and it's a place I think lots of people leave. I'm not talking smack on Springfield in any way, but I obviously moved away I know lots of people that have. I still have a lot of great friends there, though, and it's still a great and welcoming scene to us. And it is small. And then I guess you want to talk about St. Joe.
Yeah, St. Joe, there's not really a whole lot of places to play because a lot of the – and I grew up in St. Joe, and I think St. Joe's a pretty okay city. But, man, there's such a lack of just anywhere – to play that we played two venues there regularly.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's it.
There's maybe three or four that people like to go to that enjoy things that different genres of music. That Missouri has a big metal and then rockabilly scene and an alternative rock scene kind of thing, and we're just not really it was hard to find people to play shows with too. I feel like I think that's less of a thing in Springfield. There is a really great indie and experimental scene. Lots of great synth music out of Springfield. Lots of great synth projects out of Springfield. But yeah, there's not a lot of places to play in Springfield either.
There's one. which is the one that we always play.
there's the Outland, which, you know, was going to go under this year, but luckily everybody came together and saved it, which was a really tumultuous and crazy story, but that's
right,
that's for another time.
Multiple venues, the same thing, where they had it kind of like on the edge of, you know, closing down. So, yeah, it's been really cool to see venues being able to survive this past year for sure. Something I wanted to talk about that's really interesting about you guys is how successful your debut EP was, Illuminati, back in 2015. So over, like, between Teenage Blue, Stranger Feelings, and Pretty Sexual, there's like 25 million streams, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. And obviously, numbers doesn't equate to talent, because that's, you know, a lot of people think that. But obviously, you guys are talented, so I'm not saying that either. But yeah, I don't want people to think, you know, oh, yeah, I have like a million streams, so this is awesome. But I wanted to just talk about, like, with the early years of Dream Girl, were you guys, like, sitting down and talking about, like, oh, we want to market ourselves this way and, like, get our music out there? Or did that kind of just happen by itself?
No, we didn't really do anything.
We did nothing.
More of a thing. Well, I always said when the band first started that, like, you just put the music up, and if it's good, people will listen to it. But if it's not, then nobody's going to pay attention to it. And I also always thought it was kind of lame to, like, promote your band. Kind of. I don't know why I thought that, because now I'm like, oh, yeah, of course you do that.
But it was hard to get into.
Yeah. But yeah, so for, and we really didn't get any plays for our, that EP was probably up for like 2 years before we started getting anything.
Yeah. And I think it, I don't, it's hard to say really like when people started listening to it too, because like we didn't, notice. We didn't put it, we didn't put any of it up on YouTube. We had a, I think we had a Bandcamp and a SoundCloud, and then like eventually we put it on Spotify, but it wasn't on Spotify first. And so maybe I think like in 2017, we were just like, hanging out, and we're like, I wonder like if anyone's put it on YouTube, and like they had, and it had a lot of like, it had like 250,000 views on it. And so I found the person who put it up, and they were like this 17-year-old person from Belgium. And so that's when we were kind of like, oh, and we weren't active. Like we, I mean, we would release songs on like the worst, I feel like the worst times of day and like the worst days to do it. Just like we, yeah, we had no marketing or advertising scheme whatsoever in the beginning, really.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I think that speaks to like the music and being able to just, you know, like you said, connect with people and they enjoy it. And I want to talk about also your guys' fan base. Like I said, you guys have like a pretty strong fan base for not having, you know, like a label or any giant machine behind you guys. So like, how did you guys initially kind of build your fan base, not locally, but just throughout the country and around the world really over this past few years?
I mean, the answer's kind of the same. We didn't really.
That's so interesting. Because like, there's so many different, you know, like ways to like market your music now. So that's really cool that you guys kind of just let it, you know, breathe and be its own thing.
Yeah. I mean, we do stuff now. And we, I think for the past few years, we've really like doubled down. We started like advertising a lot more and like posting more and
touring.
But
touring
a lot. Oh, God. Yeah.
Touring outside of our region, too. I mean, like, most of our following is on the coasts or elsewhere. I mean, like regionally, it's just, I mean, like, it's just not the same. And so, you know, there's lots of other diverse places, that we've played and all ages shows, and touring was like a big thing. And I think it's like important to like pay attention and interact like with our fans. Like, I appreciate the people that listen to our music a lot. And so I think like, that's another thing is just like being nice to your fans, and, like, you know, being appreciative and, we've just been really, I think lucky in that regard that we didn't really, I think I never really knew what to do, or like had an interest in marketing our music in the like early times until it kind of like we realized we had a listenership and that we could and like had to do that kind of to like keep up in
a
way, maybe.
That was a good point you mentioned about like, you know, talking to your fans, interacting with them. Because there's a lot of like even bigger artists that do that. Like, I think Rihanna still to this day like talks to her fans, which is so cool because she has no like obligation to do that. You know, she's like one of the biggest artists in the world.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool that she actually like still builds that like relationship with her fans. And you guys mentioned touring, which is great. That was my next question anyway. It's been really cool over the past few years. I've seen a lot of more local artists touring outside of Kansas City and like going to different places and doing different things. So I wanted to ask you guys, how has touring helped you grow as musicians, like individually?
I think that touring, like I think Dreamgirl, like even in the original lineup, was always a live band. And so, you know, all the recordings come out and people listen to them or they don't listen to them. But I feel like it really hits the nail on the head whenever we get together and we get to perform those songs for the same people who have been listening to it. Cause I feel like it's like a way bigger experience. And we like, we've developed a way tighter, like relationship of performing together. And we have a different level of communication than we had before we started traveling, both on and off stage. A lot of patience and understanding like grows from that.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Yeah. It's really interesting. Cause I think touring, yeah, I think it can either like make or break a lot of bands. Cause you really are forced to get to know each other in ways you didn't know before. So that's really cool how you guys can like, kind of, you know, build that camaraderie. Something else that I thought was interesting that you guys are independent. And obviously social media and like the internet has made it a lot easier for artists to kind of, you know, have control over what they're doing as opposed to, you know, just being signed to a label. So over Dreamgirls, you know, creation and the history of you guys, have you ever talked about being like signed to a label or if you just want to stay independent moving forward?
We've definitely talked about it. I mean, because I think that's like, I feel like for me, it was like that dream. I feel like, or it's like to say that it's everybody's dream. It's really not my dream anymore, but it used to, I feel like as any musician's like, oh, the dream mm-hmm. is to like get signed and make it big and stuff. But like, at this point, we really have found that we are self-sufficient in a way where we just don't even like, we're super lucky to have Ian, who is like the, you know, the production and like recording and mixing guy behind all of our stuff, as well as, you know, a player and a writer in the band. So, I mean, we're really lucky that we can be self-sufficient. We've definitely talked about it, but and maybe it would be right sometime. Like I'm not close to the idea, but I think we all kind of enjoy that we are independent. And I think that's, I like doing mm-hmm. it the way that it is. You know, it's nice, like you said, to have control, but also to just, yeah, to do whatever we want and
yeah.
choose who we want to work with all the time. And
you're able to print t-shirts with butts on them without any
Most importantly,
sign,
right. So. yeah, so speaking of the internet, it's been really interesting as like a consumer of music to see that over this past year, like artists adapting to the lockdown and how they create music. So I wanted to ask you guys, like, was there any of that for you, like, not being in the same place and having to write? Was it hard? Like, how did you guys kind of adapt to this past year?
We did one live stream. We really like doing stuff for, you know, organizations that matters. Or like, we want to have a reason to get together for sure. So we did a live stream for Planned Parenthood, right?
Yeah.
Great Plains, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yes. And that was really cool. Right at the beginning of shutdown, we were finishing up the tracking on our last two singles, which was All You Want to Do Is Dance and the song Sometimes, which just came out like a month ago on a Wednesday.
Oh yeah, wow.
And we actually Skylar and I lived together at the time, so recording the rest of those tracks was pretty easy. We waited a while for Joe like came over, and he and I just had like a session, just the two of us, where we like picked apart the bass line, and it was just like very like intimate, two people. And then Grady and Lacey, at the time, you all finished tracking like in your apartment.
Yeah,
everybody
we lived
had
together.
Like a little recording wow. rig And we just kept sending stuff back and forth, and we were like, nah, that works, or no, that doesn't work. There's too much noise, or I think you can do it better, or this will work for now. And actually, like on Sometimes, we ended up, your scratch vocal take that you did at the very beginning of tracking was like, that's what we used. We just liked it. We liked the inflection so much.
And my apartment was really, really loud at the time. So it was also weird singing there because I knew that like literally every person in that sixplex could like hear. So that was,
that's really interesting. Yeah, yeah. I've been talking to a lot of bands since the podcast started about, because I started this podcast during the quarantine. So it's been interesting to kind of see how artists adapt to how they write. Like there was even people I've talked to that were like on different sides of the country, you know, sending music back and forth. So
yeah,
it's really interesting how technology kind of puts, you know, the control in the artist's hands to where they can do stuff like that. It's really cool. Something else I want to talk about is, I'm assuming you guys have a new album coming out at some point. So just moving forward with Dream Girl, what do you guys have in planned? And can you talk about any new music you've been working on?
We've got a couple. I think we'll be releasing at least one or two more mm-hmm. singles this year that we might physically release as an EP with Sometimes. We've got some other singles that might fit somewhere else, so I'm not sure exactly. I don't know what all or how it's all going to be released, but we're working on new stuff. And we're actually going to go out to the East Coast in October as well. So hopefully we'll have some other stuff released before then. But we're kind of just going at a
pace.
Right,
yeah, it's still weird. Like, foot is like half in the door, half out of the door, kind of, when it comes to live music. So
yeah,
it's kind of hard. Yeah, to kind of
100%. Yeah, it's still pretty apprehensive to play shows in a, you know, in a large capacity where it would endanger anybody. That was, I never would want to do
right.
that to anybody. So we just played an outdoor show at Lemonade Park this past weekend, and so that's all outdoor. And you know, I think for the most part, everyone is vaccinated in our sphere. So, it is, though, very much still one, like you said, one foot in the door, one foot out, and kind of reacclimating, I think, probably just like everybody else is, to figuring out what getting back on track means and
right.
what it looks like, and giving ourselves grace to kind of take time and really make the song special, I think, is what mm-hmm. we're doing right now.
Yeah, that's really interesting too. There's a lot of artists just in general I've noticed, like, over time they've kind of moved towards EPs and singles more, because it's more digestible, because everyone's attention span is so short, so it's like way easier, you know, to give someone's attention.
Yeah.
So has that, like, just and, like, before the, you know, the new stuff you've been working on, have you guys always been that way, like doing EPs as opposed to like full albums?
I'd say we've got more singles and EP, like EP singular. I mean, we have one album out, and the rest is either singles or EP, one EP. Which actually, there's like an earlier copy, like there's another EP out there, sort of. I think it's called Centrally Yours, which we released before Illuminati. It's like, I think, three.
Oh, I haven't heard of that before.
Two songs, yeah. It's the same songs. It's two of the same songs that are on. It's High Dive and Sweet Thing. So it's like that. We don't really count that one, though, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So Illuminati's the EP, and then, you know, the self-titled is the album. So I think we have a bunch of songs that are either like half ideas, or, you know, we tabled them. Like, we were considering putting out an album. Like, the plan was to do it in 2020, but, you know, things change.
Right.
At this point, I think. You know, like you said, it's attention span stuff, but also the way that like Spotify, the algorithms are all set up, that's like lucrative for bands to do. And I think that's why a lot of bands are doing it. It's also like, it gives me more time to like prepare for the next like wave of like advertisement and photos and like, but yeah, we were interested in doing albums. Like, we're interested in
right.
doing EPs and stuff. I think it, right now it's just been happening that they've been singles for the past two. But Sometimes might be part of an EP. Like, the plan is to put out an EP, like, physically for sure. But all the songs might be released as singles. We don't really know.
I feel like part of it too is just with like the last year being a pan, and this could just be my experience,
right.
but the writing process and like finding a sustained level of creative energy enough to like put together a body of work, like an album, was difficult. And so being able to write one or two songs at a time and put them out sporadically as they come is a little bit, it feels a lot like there's less pressure to a situation like that.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. Yeah, I think especially with social media, like, it forces artists to feel like they like, constantly have to be releasing content. Like, even me, I don't play music anymore, but I feel like I always have to be releasing stuff, like posting stuff, and that can be really detrimental to your health. You know, you're just constantly like in work mode, and also like, it can kind of threaten the quality as well if you're just constantly churning out stuff. You know, so yeah, I think this past year has definitely kind of forced me to like slow down and like really reevaluate like why am I doing this or like what's the purpose behind
it,
you know?
For sure, and I think like like you said, like having to churn out content, like it I think being intentional is really special and something to focus or something I'd like to focus on more than just, you know, having to we haven't gotten on TikTok yet, and like we're supposed to like get on TikTok and start advertising there, and I just like it's so hard for me to be like, yeah, I want to do one more platform, you know? Like I don't
No, I don't know why TikTok gives me anxiety. Like the idea of downloading it like stresses me out. I don't know. Like I'm only 25, but it's like I just feel like an old man. Like I don't know what's going on right
now. TikTok is like the first social media site that has made me come to terms with my mortality.
Same here. That's a great way to put it. It's so much, and all the dances look exactly the same to me. I'm like, I don't even know which dance is like different from the other one. I'm like, I feel like an old man. I'm only 25.
Which one is the original dance? They're all the same.
Exactly. I don't even know where it starts. Right.
And how do you go viral? Out?
I don't know. It's too much. It's like, oh my God. And my nephew, he's 10 years old. He was like, yeah, I was on YouTube. Like, I taught myself how to code. I'm like, what the hell? Like, how are kids like doing all this stuff? Like,
awesome.
It's just too much. Yeah, it's so cool. But it's like, how do you have the patience and like the wherewithal to even do something like that? It's crazy how much technology, like kids or like younger kids are like in it, you know? Like, because when we were growing up, we had like, kind of, you know, like the Game Boys and like PS2 and all that, but we still like went outside and did stuff, you know. But now it's like they're so deep in it, it's insane.
Way different.
I feel like our generation's like equivalent of that was whenever we all had Zangas and MySpace and we would code our layouts in HTML.
Hell yeah. Oh, my profiles were so cool, dude. I had like an animated Rubik's Cube.
Cool. Whoa, you were ahead of the game. I had like the dream was my MySpace song. I don't know what song it was, but that was
hell yeah.
Yeah, obviously R&B is my shit. I know Lacey, you can speak on that
too.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
I see. Yeah, you and Zoe are always like tweeting about R&B. I'm like, I love this
so much. Yeah, God, and I shout out to Danzel. I love Danzel so much, and
he's
his music is great too. Like.
No, yeah, we love you guys. He's always talking about all of you. Also, he mentioned we have some wrestling fans in Dreamgirl, so we didn't talk about that.
Dude.
Skylar can
just me, but
hey, wrestling.
What have you been watching, Skylar?
AEW, that's about
same.
Yeah,
so
it's
good,
really good.
Yeah, I fell off of wrestling like I think fourth or fifth grade. I stopped watching because I got into music a lot, so I was like, I'm too cool for wrestling. And then Denzel got me back into I think 2017, 2018. I started watching WWE again, but it was okay. Obviously, WWE is really bad at this point, but he got me into like NXT, and then New Japan was like, that was where I was like, oh shit, like I'm back into wrestling like for sure now, because I think the athleticism in New Japan is a lot more, you know, like they just go harder than WWE. But yeah, AEW is great. I would love to come and see a show of theirs whenever they come back to Kansas City.
Well, they're
doing
Full Gear in St. Louis, the pay-per-view.
Oh shit, yeah, I forgot
so
about that.
I will be going to that.
Oh, yeah, I might have to tag along because that would be really cool to see AEW. I've never been to a wrestling show, actually, ever. But, yeah, AEW is great. I need to have them like sponsor or something.
Sponsor him.
Exactly. Well, yeah, guys, it's been great talking to you. I'm really excited for new music. And like I said, you guys are, like, I think you really represent, like, how important independent music is in Kansas City. Because you guys have really, like, paved your own way and built your own, you know, fan base and your own following. I really respect that. And, yeah, I'm just a huge fan of you guys, and I appreciate you talking
to
me today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. It was great to talk to you. I'm so excited that we got to do this. I've admired this. I'm so glad that you're doing this. It's awesome.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, and like I've said before on the show, too, like, a lot of times I definitely get discouraged because it's, like, I feel like a lot of times what I'm doing doesn't matter or isn't important. I know it's not true, but I think it's, you know, your own self-doubt. I think we've all experienced that, but... Yeah, just having the respect and the admiration of my peers means more than, you know, any amount of streams or follows. So, yeah, I appreciate you guys a lot.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having us. It was great talking to you. And I hope to see you soon. I hope that we can all, you know, But we can all be in the same place in a larger capacity.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I feel like we've actually never hung out like outside of shows before. So, yeah, we definitely
I remember
need to do
those
that.
Brother days.
Like, yeah, man. Yeah, it was great. It was so cool. Those yeah. And it's so cool to see, like, just doing the blog, like, seeing artists grow over time, like, you guys and so many other artists I've been following. Like, it's just so rewarding to see the culture and, like, the music scene here, like, cultivate and really grow into something
real.
Yeah,
well, thanks for always being cool to us, Cameron. I appreciate it.
Of course. It was nice talking to you guys. Have a good evening. Okay.
You too. Thank you so much.